Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Sean Broderick. He is an analyst over at Weiss Ratings. Sean, you and I chat about a number of different markets on our bi-weekly call. And you know what? We're actually going to jump around to a number of different markets again today, starting off with gold. Now, gold remains range-bound. It had a bit of a spike earlier today on the spot market, reaching about 1930. But overall, still very much within this trading range. And you talk to a lot of the gold bugs, and in all fairness, a lot of those following the gold trade. And all eyes, just like with a lot of markets, are on upcoming stimulus out of the government mostly. And who knows, maybe some more stimulus out of the Fed. But it's government stimulus, first and foremost, potentially coming after the election, maybe before, but that's very doubtful. All these gold bugs are saying, hey, that stimulus, it's going to further push gold higher. Usually stimulus does, but there's been instances where the stimulus just hasn't hit the precious metals in terms of moving them higher. What do you think? How do you see the gold trade playing out when we do finally get some stimulus package?
Yeah, well, I mean, we have seen Speaker Pelosi and Treasury Secretary Mnuchin trying to hammer this thing out. Those two are doing the real negotiating. I don't see how they get a stimulus package unless Mitch McConnell buys in. And right now he's saying there isn't going to be one. However, with the White House and Congress working on it, maybe there will be. I just don't want to make any bets until we actually see the damn thing. For one thing, we have been seeing gold rally every time there's mention of a stimulus package. So when we finally see the final stimulus package, we may see things sell off, you know, the whole a buy the rumor, sell the news kind of thing. And we should know fairly shortly. They should have it done by the end of the week, Saturday at the latest, if there is going to be one. So it's not that long to wait. We have plenty of gold positions if in the short term it goes higher. If we have a sell-off, then I have plenty of money to add new gold positions because longer term, it is going to work out. And I mean, I could point a whole bunch of different things. And I actually went on this at length when I was speaking remotely to the New Orleans Investment Conference last week. But one thing to keep your eye on is the U.S. dollar. It broke down to support. It's probably going to go test support that it made in September at 91.73. And so that could be very, very interesting. With gold, well, as you said, it's up around 1930. There are two important overhead lines of resistance. One is the 50-day moving average at 1933. And then there's the high from earlier this month at 1939.40. So have to watch those two things. If it's not over the 50-day moving average by the end of the week, I would take that as short-term bearish. We'll see how it goes. But, you know, I don't feel the need to move on like anything right now. We have some nice gains in our gold and silver portfolio. So, you know, the like thing like I have to get a trade done, it isn't really there. I'm happy to sit. I'm happy to sit and make money any day of the week. And so, you know, oftentimes traders hate inaction, but oftentimes sitting and waiting can be the smartest thing you can do. And so that's actually what I would counsel people to do right now. That said, when gold finally moves, it could be a heck of a move. So you want to leave some kind of a position before that happens.
So Sean, if we don't get a funding deal by the end of this week or some of the more optimistic comments that we've seen from Mnuchin and even Pelosi, do you think that we're, again, just stuck in a range-bound trade, or are there any other catalysts, drivers that you see on the horizon?
Well, there are long-term catalysts, the whole supply-demand situation. And we just saw big disappointments from a couple of gold miners just in the past few days, where like all the mines down in Mexico were shut down for a while, 6 weeks or something. So, of course, they'll have those problems. And we keep seeing demand from both investors and the central banks, you know, just stacking up more and more gold. So we have those drivers. We have the things like yields on bonds, which more and more are going negative because despite all the stimulus that the central banks of the world are throwing at their economies, everything seems stuck in lower gear. So they kind of panic. They say, we need more stimulus. We need to move this, you know, need to move these things along. So you're seeing bond yields go lower and lower, more are negative. As bond yields become more negative, that's great for gold, because one of the arguments bears make against gold is it pays no interest. Well, you can hold a 30-year German bond now and end up with less money than you started with. That's insane, you know. So there are many forces to push gold higher. But certainly if we don't see gold close over the 50-day moving average by the end of the week, that is a short-term top. That'll bring us down somewhere. I'm not sure where the next support would be. Probably at the lows we saw last month would be my guess, which isn't that too far away. So as you said, range bound. So, and who knows, maybe we could move along in a nice tight range for a while, build up some energy for the next move. That said, so many bullish things have been lining up for gold, you know, that at some point it is going to ignite. It's like gold is standing there in a pool and people keep pouring in more and more gasoline. We just haven't seen the lit match yet. When the match lights, it's going to ignite, you know?
Yeah, fair enough, Sean. I do see the optimism, and I understand why we should be optimistic about the precious metals. But you know what? It still has been a range-bound trade, and gold already moved so much this year. So even range-bound into the end of the year, there's nothing wrong with that. One other market, you mentioned yields, that decreasing yields also do help the argument for investing in precious metals. But so does a decreasing dollar. And the dollar today is breaking down, but again, it's still within its trading range. It's just a much lower trading range than it has been for, most of this year. But the trend is lower for the dollar. What do you think about the dollar and its recent decrease, the bearish dollar argument right now?
Well, that's because, I actually posted some charts on, like, the amount of money we have in supply now. It's getting insane. The electronic printing presses have shifted into warp speed, right? And the more you create of something, the less value each individual piece of it holds. So, of course, the dollar is going down. Plus, you know, a moribund economy, growth is lackluster despite all the money they're throwing at things. There are many reasons for the U.S. dollar to actually go lower. One thing that's holding it higher is a reputation that was built up over decades. It's often seen as like the safe haven. And I don't blame people for that. That's what they've always been taught. We may come to a reexamination of that. I'm not saying tomorrow, but over, you know, the intermediate term, where people say, you know what, if those guys are going crazy with the electronic printing presses, maybe that isn't the best place to put our money. So I would not be a long-term holder of the dollar, though, when you think about it, since I'm a U.S. citizen, I am a long-term holder of the dollar. That's unfortunate. But that's why I try and hedge that with things like gold and silver, you know?
Now, what's the alternative to the dollar if you're looking at currencies?
That's a good question. Well, you're in Canada, and we've always known the your dollar, the loonie as it's called, is, you know, it is a commodity currency. It tends to rise as the price of commodities go higher. Gold and silver look to be going higher. Then again, oil is a big part of the of the whole underpinning of the Canadian dollar, and oil really doesn't look so good. We've been hearing some news out of OPEC. They are lowering their forecast for global demand. People are not liking oil right now. That could go lower. So I'm not sure I would actually pick that one. I hate to recommend the euro because, gosh, if they don't shoot themselves in the foot on a weekly basis, it's just not a week in Europe. So it's hard to say where things will go. I have friends who are always like promoting things like Bitcoin and like stuff like that, but I'm too old for that stuff. It just does not thrill me at all. So I'm not really sure. There aren't good alternatives, which is one of the things that's holding up the U.S. dollar right now.
Exactly, because we do need to balance it out with other currencies, and a lot of countries are printing. It looks like the U.S. is about to ramp up their printing more than other countries. But that could have just been the dollar forecasting that, as it did fall pretty much all through summer. Let's also talk about oil, because oil is another, I think, relatively boring trade, and a trade that I just don't understand how crude is still hanging around that $40 a barrel level. But we even heard from OPEC recently that they're seeing demand decrease. So there's a lot of reasons I think that oil could move down, but we need to understand that the market is telling us that oil is somewhat stable around this $40 a barrel level. How do you view the oil trade?
It is crazy. Oil has been at $40 since June. That is a heck of a long time for a commodity that traditionally is more volatile. And as you said, we're hearing bad news out of OPEC and like stuff like that. It's hard for me to really figure. One thing is, though, is that the lower oil prices are hurting the whole fracking industry, and oil production that actually depends on fracking, I mean, that's really coming in. So we probably will see a lot less production from those oil fields that depend on fracking. Maybe that's what the oil market is trying to figure in, is like future like supply. But at least for now, the demand picture does not look good. I mean, I'm not saying oil demand will just like completely dry up. No, it'll actually continue to head along around the same level it is. But for a long time, oil demand was always going up. At least in the intermediate term, we don't see that happening. And so that should weigh on oil prices. Oil is a risky business anyway. So you can see how some investors might think there are easier ways to make money. You could also say that I'm kind of talking my book, because we're out of almost all of our oil positions. We have been for quite some time, because just nothing was happening there, you know? And I really need to see some good action in the stocks, at least maybe an oil demand forecast, something like that, to make me more positive on this industry right now. But that isn't a place where I actually want to be putting money to work. There are other industries which are running megatrends, which I think look much more attractive.
Care to share some of those other industries that you think are more sustainable, more longer-term bullish?
Well, sure. One that is getting murdered today, but I mean, has done so well for us. We have nice triple digit gains on more than one thing, is the solar and renewable energy. And that's a global mega trend. Doesn't just depend on North America. It's all around the world. And so you're seeing some stocks do extraordinarily well. And also there's been a lot of reports lately that it's actually cheaper for utilities around the world to build new solar power plants than to, say, maintain a coal power plant. It's crazy. So you can see how like the demand could be soaring there, especially since they seem to have all sorts of new ways to like store the energy overnight and stuff like that, new storage, that kind of thing. So solar has been doing very well for us. If this pullback continues for a few days, I might look to pick up more positions, because I'm quite comfortable with the ones we have now, but I'd love to own more. You'd love to have more exposure in like solar and wind and like that kind of thing. The other thing would be cannabis stocks. They've been doing very well for us recently. And both of these, by the way, may be related to what's going on with the U.S. election. That's not to predict who will win. Basically, it's unpredictable to me at this point. I have no idea. But along with the megatrends is like, investors are saying, what if Biden wins? What if they get a new Senate where Mitch McConnell isn't blocking every piece of pro-marijuana legislation that comes through? Well, if the Senate changes hands, then yes, you could actually see a lot of pro-marijuana legislation go through, and then you will want to own these stocks. Now, that's not speaking to stocks up in Canada. They have their own problems. So I have seen some good news up there recently. Not great news, but, you know, certainly better than the news they've been having. So there is some improvement there, but I really would look south of the border. There's tremendous growth potential. We're enjoying it, and I think there's a lot more to come.
All right, Sean, we're going to wrap it up there. Always great having you on the show. Thanks for really spreading it around in this interview, talking about a number of different markets. Unfortunately, a number of markets that are still range-bound, but it's important to take a look at the bigger picture, look ahead to next year, and look past this election to try to glean what might move. And hey, it's going to be tough. It's not a time to get too aggressive anywhere, but we do need to be paying attention to some of the potential longer-term trends. Sean, great chatting with you. Thanks for taking some time today. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
You too. Have a great one.